Okay, let's get started. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoah. Anna Bekoah, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Zerura. Aleph Bet Gimel Yutat Tzadi. The letters Tzadi and Bet, the Tzadi created the constellation Dali, the Aquarius, and the Bet created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together they have a gematria of 92, and that connects us to unity between the spiritual and the physical worlds. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimadalad Yud Kaf Shin Bahem Tacharem Rachame Sid Karcha Tamid Gamlem Betetresh Sadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Birov Tucha Nael Adatach Het Kufet Het Nunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushatach Het Kufet, Het Nunayim. Yashid Gea, Lamcha Penei, Zokre Kedushata, Yud Gimelamed, Pei Zayim Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumot, Shin Kuvav, Tzadi Yud Tav. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper. I'm now reading from the Parsha of Yitro, section 35, the Esther Dibrot, you shall not murder, and you shall not commit adultery. Two of them. Verse 565. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adonai Kononei Aleinu Maasei Adonai Kononeihu Lo Tirtzach Lo Tinach Lo Tignov Lo Piska Tama Bekol Tanei Tilat Veilat Dikas Ka Paska Tama Lachave tikuna le'almin v'he'asilan le'kadla nafsha be'alma a'agish di'avor al oraita aval bema de'fashyata ama. Asir b'sharei.
Yeah.
You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Under the word shall not, the Hebrew word is lo, in all three commandments there is a tonal pause. For in the absence of this interruptive mark, harmony would be unattainable in the world. It would be forbidden to kill even one who transgresses the law. However, the presence of the pause teaches that, in specific instances, killing may be prohibited or permitted. There's a... Jack, please mute your mic, Jack, please mute your mic. Thank you. On the bottom of the square, there's a microphone. To the right of it is a little gimmick, but if you click on the microphone, it mutes it.
Oh, Dubai and China, they're all.
So what this verse is saying in the Zohar, that the phrase is the way we could read the Torah, it would say, do not murder, do not commit adultery, and do not steal.
51?
All tied together. So it could be saying, do not murder the adulterer. Do not steal the murderer. All kinds of miscommunication. But because of the trope teaching us about the pronunciation, we learn the way, the proper way. And we learn that there are times when it is appropriate to kill someone. Even though it says do not murder, we learn that there is a time when we should. Like when someone commits murder and the state must kill him. But this is not your common everyday occurrence.
Actually, they're both working, and they will...
Joe, I'm going to give you a call right back. We'll be starting in a minute on the telephone conference call. Okay, the class, the handout for the class is located at yashem.com/sy24.htm. This is the 24th class on the Sefer Yetzirah. And while we didn't finish the class last week, we'll start this week and hopefully get through this subject and start the other Mishnayot from Chapter 4, because it's really interesting material in Chapter 4. But we're starting where we left off, talking about Mishnah Aleph and Bet. Where we stopped last week, we were talking about the 28 times mentioned in Chapter 3 of Kohelet. Why are there 28 of these different times? What is the relationship between these 28 times and the 7 double letters that our Mishnayot are describing? That is essentially what we're discussing right now. Joe, do you hear me?
would be funny if...
Joe, are you hearing me? I'm sorry, I need to... Yeah, when I hang up, would you disconnect from Jack? Because that's the only way we can get his attention, just to mute the phone. So hang up and I'll call you back. Hang up yourself. So. Thank you. There are 28 times is where we left off last week. So,
yeah.
And we're also talking about the seven double letters and what their relationship is to the Sephiroth. And essentially, the Sephiroth follow the order of the Aleph Bet. The Bet is the Chesed of the double letters. The Gimel is the Gevurah. The Gimel is the third letter, but it's the second letter of the seven. So that we learn a lot of things from this. We learn that things are relative. We talked about relativity in the basic class, but it's very important to always remember we have to be understanding of what frame of reference we're talking about in order to relate to the Sephiroth. Because there are 10 Sephiroth and they repeat over and over again, depending on the frame of reference. The Dalet is Tiferet, but only in the frame of the seven letters. The Dalet is not the Tiferet in a different frame, in the frame of the Aleph Bet itself. There, the Aleph is the fourth level, and the fourth would be Gevurah. Kaf is Netzach. Pe is Hod. Again, always speaking about what frame of reference, that of the seven letters. Resh is Yesod. And top is Malchut. Now, a letter, essentially a letter is a lighthouse. The form of the letter is to shine out. There is not a limit to the energy of these letters. These are theoretical letters, not practical. Practical would be a manifestation. Practical would be limited. Theoretical is not. The seven letters are relating directly to the emotions of the seven lower Sephiroth. The emotional aspects of the Sephiroth relate to these double letters, which allows us to truly find power within these letters. These letters are the gasoline, the emotions are the gasoline that powers the meditations. More so than with the mother letters, but not as powerful as with the Tetragrammaton itself. Use the same meditative techniques that we taught you with the mother letters. Put each letter into a series of two letters with the Yud Kei Vav Kei. So put the Bet with the Yud, and then come along and put the Kaf with the Yud, and constantly practice this relationship in how you're saying it and where you're saying it. Now, in Mishnah two. We use different terms that we need to correlate to the Sephirot. The first term that was used was wisdom. And wisdom is the name of a Sephirot. But here we're saying wisdom is Tiferet. And we need to understand this concept of relativity. What is our frame of reference? When we're dealing with the seven letters, wisdom is Tiferet. We could follow this pattern and be successful. The concept of wealth is Netzach, while that of seed is Yesod. Life itself is Chesed. I'm sorry?
I said seed.
What is a seed? A seed is what we put in the ground to grow a tree or grow a plant. There's a time to sow. What do we sow? We sow seeds. But the seed is actually the Keter. So why are we saying it's Yesod? We need to understand the difference between returning light and direct light. When we do binding by striking and we push the desire away, and in so doing, combine the desire, what we're doing is creating the seed, the Keter, at the level of Yesod, going back up to Keter. That's returning light. The concept of life is Chesed, mercy. The concept of government is manifestation, is Malchut. Peace is Givurah. How can peace be Givurah? It just doesn't make sense on its surface. But we have come to learn.
Can I explain that?
Why is peace Givurah? Because peace is the Hebrew word shalom, which comes from the correspondence of the root of shalem. Shalem means complete. If someone is complete, they're at peace. Even if the outside world doesn't see them at peace, doesn't see them complete. But that is the essence of our understanding and how we are moving forward. It's a great, great lesson.
Did I say last week, peace, stress? You're strong, you're going to bother you?
Yes, you did. You said that last week.
Yeah.
Hello, Evaristo.
Senor Guerrero, how you doing? That was funny.
He will. He may be out of the room. He's just getting settled in. Look at these correspondences. Some of them are direct light. The first group I gave you was direct light. The second group was returning light.
Light that actually comes with that.
Yeah. Returning light is when we've done restriction, we create unity. And in that process of unity, what we're actually doing is returning the light that we thought we wanted, that we do want, but because we're sending it back with restriction by pushing it back, we turn on, we create unity. This is the paradox. How can something that we want be what we don't want? And this is the paradox of binding by striking.
How can you ever figure that out? What? Ever let it tell that paradox?
That's the definition of a paradox. It can't be reconciled. Let me give you an example. In the physical world, I can take a stick and put one end in the freezer and burn the other end. Am I really mixing fire and cold, fire and water? Not really. I just put them next to each other in the physical world. But are they really connected? Are they really in affinity?
No.
But in the spiritual world, if I put them together with restriction, with binding by striking, they are together. They're unified. There's light being revealed. The Creator is capable of doing that. We are not. We can do it in the physical world, but we can't do it in the spiritual. In Kohelet, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, as we said, there are 28 times. There are 14 good times and 14 other kinds of times. There are 14 male times. There are 14 female times. How do we understand these 14? How can they be connected when they're opposites? Life and death is opposites, yet they're connected in the story of Kohelet. Sowing and reaping, yeah. Two opposites, yet yeah. They're connected.
Well, you got to have one without the other. You have to have life first before you have death.
Or does life come from death?
It's the leading cause of marriage is divorce.
That's the same argument. It is the same argument, and it is the correct argument. There is a paradox. We are unable to reconcile the paradox. The Creator is able to create the unity of the paradox. He has no problem being both life and death at the same instant. We have a problem with that. We can't understand it.
Life is a prerequisite for death.
No, it's not. The Torah tells us that Vayera Vayiboker Yom Echad. First there was darkness. Metaphor for death, before there was life. Life comes out of darkness. Then first there is night, then there is day, one day. We'd like to think that death comes first, there must be life. But it's actually the opposite. First there must be chaos. First there must be death, or first there must be non-living. It's only from non-living do we get living. This is why we don't understand the paradox, but it doesn't mean just because we don't understand it that it doesn't mean it's not there. Let me try and explain this paradox to you. There is a famous story from the Talmud. two brothers were partners, and they did very well in their business partnership. Everything was running smoothly. But then the times began to change. One of the brothers cashed out and retired and waited. Played golf, went with the 1%. The other found himself deeper and deeper in debt to keep his business afloat. Two different decisions. First, they were in unity, then they are not. The retired brother saw that things were getting better, that it was going back to the good times. So he took his money out of the bank and bought a business. He went back into business doing what he was doing beforehand. And he hired his brother as an employee, not as a partner. What is the moral to us? The moral is, do not fight the times. Go with the flow. Bend like a reed in the wind. Understand the cycles. This is the essence and meaning of chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, and it's a very important thing to learn. How do you bend in the times that are difficult? How do you go with the flow? How do you make it all work? It wasn't a good time. The brother struggled in business instead of taking it easy. He was fighting against the times. He was fighting against the energy of the place. Now it's getting better. Things are turning around. Unemployment is down to 8.3%. Time to start looking for a job. I've been out of the market for a year and a half. Time to start looking again. People make money in bad times, don't they? Remember this story.
Yeah.
Of the two partners. People make money in bad times. But the truth is, they don't make money in bad times.
Oh.
It's an illusion that they're making bad money in bad times. Yes, they can spend the illusion, and we understand that. But the truth is, the overall cycle is always being followed. And either I can fight that overall cycle, or I can bend with it and not conflict with it. This is a hard lesson to learn. I want you to remember the famous story from the Chinese people. It's a true story. They live by this adage. The first generation is a peasant. He's bonded to the land. He has no education and he's ignorant. But he works hard. Then the next generation becomes a merchant. Why does he become a merchant? Because his father can give him a little bit of an education, because he worked hard. And he wants something better for his kid. So his kid becomes a merchant. They make a lot of money because times are good. And they put that money to good use, buying more businesses, becoming a power broker, a politician, a significant effect on the economy. And then the fourth generation. The power broker fought the new cycle. It tried to go straight, but it couldn't. The power broker loses all the money, and they return to the life of the peasant. Always understand this story. This is a very real story. It's a very real process. The four steps, the four processes, happens all the time. It's been going on in our world for 200 years. In good times, we make money. In bad times, we lose money. This has been going on, this cycle of the peasant to the power broker and returning to the peasant. This cycle has been going on in this country for 200 years. We call it politics. And many people are enamored with it. There will be a new cycle. Bend with the cycle. Don't fight the cycle. Home values are going to drop. Home values will drop again. Do not fight the cycle. Understand the cycle. Integrate the cycle into your life, because your life has cycles. It may be a good business environment for everybody else, but based on your cycle, it's not. Always be aware of the cycles. Let's look at the names of these 28 times from Qohelet. Let's see which are male and which are female. We have the word life. There is a time for life. There is a time for death. There is a time to plant. There is a time to destroy or uproot. There is even a time to kill. There's also a time to heal. There's a time to wreck and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to wail. A time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to shun embraces. A time to seek out and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to discard. A time to rend and a time to bend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love, a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Twenty-eight opposites, 28 cycles. Are you prepared? Are you looking for peace when it's wartime? Are you looking for war when it's peacetime? Learn the relationships between the times and its opposite and its relationship to the Sephirot. Each human has a cycle. Every day is a cycle. Every place has a cycle. Learn to know your own cycle. You don't know what time you are in your own cycle? Ask a dream question. Which cycle am I in? Am I in the building or the wrecking cycle? Learn the cycles of your life. Twenty-eight is 14 times 2. What is the secret of 14? It's the word Yad, with a gematria of 14. The word Yad means your hand. The word Yad means manifestation. It means making something happen. There's a time to stand up and make something happen. There's another time that's very difficult. Why do you think there are 14 bones in the five fingers of the hand?
In the fingers?
In the fingers, right.
Fingers.
I'll point it out to you. You have 2 bones in the thumb. You have 3 in the first finger. 3 in the middle finger, 3 in the fourth finger, 3 in the pinky. 14 sections of bone make up the hand, teaching us about manifestation. When we have both our hands, we have 28. There's a direct connection to the 28 cycles and the 28 times of manifestation.
But you have 2 hands, so 2 is 14. I think I got this.
Very good, Joe. That's correct. Learn what time it is by what's going on in your life. Learn to see the mirror of your life. Here we have 14 letters spelling 3 Hebrew words. Adonai Eloheinu Adonai. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Aleph Lamed Hei Yud Nun Vav. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Learn to realize, where are you in this cycle of 14 positive letters? Now move the letters towards the left. Change the letters. Substitute the letters by moving it to the left. This has now become, instead of Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's become Kuzu, Kaf Vav Zayin Vav. The Moksaz is Eloheinu. 6 letters that substitute is the Moksaz. And the third name is Kuzo again. This is the Highness. Kuzu B'Moksaz Kuzu. Another 14 letters. But this is 14 letters of the negative side. Names of God, each of these sequences. What do they do, these names of God? They represent the 28 times, the positive and the negative, the direct light and the returning light. Learn to know the cycles. We have the blessing of the Kohanim, the blessing of the priests, a mitzvah to be performed daily in the synagogue. As part of that ritual, the children as part of the ritual of the blessing of the Kohanim put their two hands with fingers separated opposite each other near their heads. I'm doing it so you can see me like this. Now, when you've gone into the synagogue, you might see it like this. This is the correct way. This is the blessing of the Kohanim. One opposite the other, the positive opposite the negative. Adonai Elokeinu, Elokeinu Adonai. Kuzu, Bimuksaz Kuzu. The 14 letters opposite the 14 letters. The 28 times, one opposite the other. This is the meaning. This is the tool. This is what we have to find out. Where in the cycle are we? The two sounds of each of these seven letters represent opposites, as expressed in the second Mishnah, where one dominates the other, where sometimes it's Gimel and sometimes it's Jimel. Which one is which? Which one is positive? Which one is negative? How do we understand it? Last week we talked to you about the different sounds, one being harsh and one being lenient. But that depends on the consciousness. It depends on your state of mind. Can you take a time to destroy and create a time to build? The answer is yes, but it takes a lot of restriction. It's easier to stay with the time to destroy and to destroy and build yourself back up when the time is appropriate.
Well, they say, like in, let's put it this way, drug rehabilitation, you have to wait till you go to bottom, hit bottom, wherever bottom is.
Correct.
Is that analogous to that?
Of course. These business guys, they were in business together. One said, I'm going to fight the universe till I win. The other one said, I'm going to bend with the universe, and I will win. One came out wealthy. One came out in debt.
But
up to you.
Theoretical, but in practical terms.
That is.
Somebody hits bottom.
Somebody hits bottom, they're starting back up. Somebody who's fighting the universe is guaranteed to hit bottom. The universe is going to thrust him down. My daughter is attending a AA group. Is she an alcoholic? I don't know. She's been holding down a great job for 5 years. Is she an alcoholic? She says she is. She's been clean for a year or whatever length of time it is. She calls herself an alcoholic. It's her consciousness. It's relative to her. Somebody else drinks exactly the same number of glasses of wine every night. 3 glasses of wine every night. And they're not called an alcoholic. They don't call themselves an alcoholic. They don't feel upset during the day.
They're a functional alcoholic, you know, you could walk, you could work and drink a lot. That's what they teach.
But that functional alcoholic reaches a bottom relative to him before he'll start back up the top. It's just not as low as the guy who becomes the bum. But they both, relative to each other, are alcoholics. Here's another metaphor. Fire and water are opposites. Sometimes the fire puts out, the water puts out the fire. Sometimes the water overcomes the fire, and sometimes the fire makes steam out of the water. Let's look at the opposites in the Mishnah. The opposite of wisdom is folly. The opposite of wealth is poverty. The opposite of seed is desolation. The opposite of life is death. The opposite of dominance is subjugation or slavery. Dominance is another word for government. So the opposite of government is subjugation. The opposite of life is death. The opposite of dominance, slavery. The opposite of peace is war. The opposite of grace is clumsiness and ugliness. When building a golem, which level will you use? Which sound will you make? When creating the body of the golem, use one of the sounds. Use the harsh sound, the external sound. When you make the soul, you have to use the internal sound. Can't do one without the other. The United States of America prides itself on being a melting pot. They think, they teach, that by being a melting pot, they improve, they get stronger, they get better. Everyone is equal.
They call it diversity now.
What?
They call it diversity.
Diversity, okay.
Yeah, they call it political correctness.
Everyone is equal. Everyone is striving to be unified. Equal pay for equal work is the slogan, one of them. The melting pot is not a Jewish idea. It's not the way the universe works. The universe works on paradox. The universe works on opposites. The universe works on the idea of a hierarchy of responsibility, the Hebrew word schut. We don't have the schut to have the Mashiach. We don't have the schut to have tzaddikim still living. It's important to live among yourself and your own cultures. But it's important to appreciate the different cultures around you. The paradox. The idea of responsibility. The idea of zchut. Each of the seven letters relate to one of the four times, or four of the seven times, four of the 28 times. Can you match them? Do you know which are the four that belong to Chesed, to the Bet? How do the Sefirot relate to these times? Take chapter 4, Mishnah 1 and 2. Look at the various attributes listed. See how they become 28. See which are positive and which are negative and how they work together. I'm going to read these quickly because we're running out of time. The Bet is connected to the Chesed, as we said above, and that's connected to life and death, healing, building, killing, and wrecking. Four of the 28 connected to two of the sounds, connected to one letter. The Gimel is connected to Giburah, connected to Shalom, peace, war, love, hate, peace, and war. There are different ways of understanding these. Say again, John?
These are all emotional attributes.
All of the times are emotional attributes. Go read the 28 times, they're all. Destruction is an emotion. Building is an emotion. Passion is important in the emotion. How does Giburah bring love? How does it bring loving kindness? You can see these lists. What are they talking about? When we do the meditations, as we taught you with the mother letters, put the letters, the seven letters, with the gas of the tetragrammaton. Power the emotions of the letters with the tetragrammaton. What day should you give somebody a blessing for peace? What day should you give somebody a blessing for hate? God forbid a blessing for hate. But there's a time to hate. We have to learn the cycles. We have to understand it in order to survive, in order to thrive, in order to improve. That's the end of chapters, Mishnah 1 and 2. Learn to understand the times. We will do next week Mishnahs 3 and 4 in class 25. Are there any questions or comments? I have stressed tonight, pick the times, make the times work. Understand the times. Understand the cycle that you're in. Don't fight the universe. Flow with the universe.
How do I know what cycle I'm in? How do I know what cycle I'm in?
Well, you're in many cycles, first off. So that's the first thing to realize. You're in many different cycles. You're in one cycle in that you were born in the month that you were born in. You're in another cycle because you were born on the fifth day of the month, making up the number. You're in another cycle because you were born on the Wednesday of the week. You're in another cycle because you're in the 125th cycle of Jubilee years in creation. You're in another cycle of the generation of 45 years. It's not 125, it's 137. It gives you a different correction, a different cycle. But all of these cycles come into these 28 times. Ask the universe what cycle you're in. This is what you can do. Ask a dream question. Universe, what cycle am I in? Universe, am I in Hesed or Geburah? You'll get an answer. It may not come in the dreams, but you'll get an answer. You don't get an answer that day, ask the same question again the next night. You will get an answer, guaranteed.
Ask, we'll tell you what cycle you're in.
If you ask, you'll be told. You may not like the answer. I want to start a new business. I want to retire. But the cycle's against me. Ask the question. Learn the cycle. Don't fight the universe. Go with the flow. Tomorrow night at 6:30, 5:30 LA time is Tu B'Shvat Seder, the opportunity to connect to energy of the trees, the energy of the desire to receive in order to share. Come join us. Have a beautiful evening. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow, Joe.
Okay.
On the telephone conference, have a beautiful evening.